listening to Abiding Hope Church's podcast of our weekly sermons. For more information about our church, please visit abidinghope.org.
Today's reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received 5 talents went off at once and traded with them, and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who have nothing, even what they will have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel text today is the next to last teaching of Jesus before the Last Supper, before his arrest, before his crucifixion. And you know that when you know you're going to die, when you're nearing that time, I've had the blessing, the opportunity to be with countless people over the years as they near death. And when you come to that time, you tend to focus on things that truly matter. Your focus narrows. You don't want to waste time. You want to enjoy each moment that you have, but more importantly, you want to be able to say the things to people that you love that truly matter. You don't want to mince words. You want to get straight to the point. And that's what this parable is today from Matthew 25. Jesus is cutting to the chase. He's getting right to the point. He's telling his followers, he's telling the people around him the things that truly matter, the things that he wants for them in life. And so we get this parable. It's a story, so don't read it literally. We need to read it figuratively. We need to find the meaning within this narrative. And Jesus tells this parable, this story about a wealthy person who goes away on a trip, and he has 3 servants. And to one he gives 5 talents, to one 2 talents, and to one talent. And he expects them to put those talents to use. Now, it's important that we understand a talent at the time of Jesus was 1 year's worth of wage. So one of those servants got 5 years of wages. One got 2 years of wages, and the other got 1 year of wages. Now, that's not their money. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to their master. And the master is expecting that they're going to do something with what he's given them that's going to make a difference, that's going to multiply the gifts. And so the first one goes out and puts the talents to work and makes 5 more. That's pretty good. The second one goes out, puts the 2 talents to work, and makes 2 more. That's pretty good. But the third person is afraid. It's fear that's controlling this person. He's afraid of his master. He's afraid that if he messes up, that the master is going to punish him. And so what he does is he buries the talent. He puts it in the ground. He hides it. He covers it. He doesn't put it to use. And when the master comes back, this servant thinks, well, okay, I've done a good thing. I've saved this one talent. And the master scolds that servant. He says, what were you thinking? And what we hear in the story is that servant was thinking, well, my master is a harsh person. My master is someone who reaps where he doesn't sow. Think about that. Reaps where he doesn't sow. In other words, this master knows how to make money. This master knows how to create, how to develop, right? And so instead of the servant having the mindset that if I lose this one talent, the master can make more, the servant lives in fear and does nothing. Does nothing. At the end of the story, the master says, this one is to be sent to the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Please don't read into that heaven and hell kinds of stuff. I know we've been conditioned to think that way. But what Jesus is saying is when we live our lives in fear, when we live our lives filled with constant anxiety, when we hunker down and cover ourselves and hide from the world, we find ourselves in the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We find ourselves in those dark places. What starts to happen in us is life happens to us instead of us living life. We start to develop victim mindset. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever had an experience where you start to feel like things are happening to you, that you're a victim? And what happens in the midst of that is we develop resentment. We develop animosity. We look at others and we carry grudges toward them. All sorts of dark things happen to us when we cover ourselves, when we hide from life, when we begin to feel like life is happening to us. And so what Jesus is saying is he's saying, look, you have a creator God. You have a God of new life. You have a God that's constantly pouring blessing into your life. If you can't see it, the problem isn't God. If you can't see the blessings in your life, the problem isn't that God's not delivering them. They're there. I promise you the blessings are there. The problem is in us, in our inability to see the good, to see the joy, to see how God is breaking into our lives. The fear masks all of that. It hides it. And we find ourselves in these dark places and we tend to isolate. We tend to pull back. We don't engage in relationship. We don't engage in serving. We don't engage in living generously, which is the path for how we were created to live. And so Jesus is giving a very staunch warning here. Don't cover yourself. Don't cover the blessings in your life. Each morning, we're called to wake up and to see how God is breaking in. Take a moment right now and think about the blessings you have. Who are the people in your life that you know love you? And you can't say no one loves you. Somebody loves you. There's somebody who cares about you. God cares about you. Jesus cares about you. Your life has meaning and purpose. Are you living that purpose? Think about, do you have shelter? Do you have a place to live? Do you have food? Do you have health care? What other blessings do you have in your life that maybe you have forgotten about or that you're overlooking? Other blessings are the opportunity to use our gifts and abilities, our talents, if you will, to serve God, to serve humanity, to work to create a better world in our homes and in our workplaces, our schools, our neighborhoods, and beyond. Work is a blessing. Serving others is a blessing. Using our gifts and our talents to the fullest is a blessing. We have so many blessings, we can't count them all. It's impossible to count them all. And if we mess up, if we fail, another blessing we get is forgiveness, compassion. God doesn't scold us for messing up. God scolds us for doing nothing. God doesn't scold us when we take chances and take risks. For example, as we go through our Ignite appeal, our fundraising appeal, our commitments for next year, if you overextend, if you say, I'm going to give more than I've ever given before, and it doesn't go well, or you find yourself in difficulty, God's there with you. God's going to find ways of bringing new blessing into your life. God doesn't abandon us. God finds a way forward. I've known countless people over the years who have gone through really difficult circumstances. People who have gone through divorce. People who have gone through bankruptcy. People who have lost their jobs or lost their health care. And the people that inspire me who go through those circumstances are people who keep their heads up and never, ever give up. They recognize that God is still there. They recognize that God's going to create new paths forward that they didn't see before. See, that's the way God works in our lives. And God does that through people. God surrounds us with the right people. God is constantly breaking in. But if we have our heads down, if we're covering ourselves, if we're afraid, we can't see it. We can't see the new paths. We don't step out in boldness. We don't take risks and chances. And that's what Jesus is warning about. You know, Jesus knew if he went to Jerusalem, they were going to crucify him. He knew that. He knew that if he went to the temple and flipped the tables and chased out the money changers, they were going to find a way to kill him. He knew that if he kept preaching truth to the powers that be, they were going to find a way to arrest him and beat him and humiliate him. He knew it. But he had greater faith in God. He had greater trust in God. He trusted that God would be there with him in the midst of his pain and suffering. He trusted that God would be walking with him as he was being rejected and mocked and scorned and nails driven through his hands and his feet. Even as he hung on the cross, he knew that life and love would win even through this horrible crucifixion. And it's horrible. You think bad things have happened in your life? Look at Jesus. Look at what he went through. But yet from the cross, he continued to proclaim words of compassion and forgiveness, even toward the people who were killing him. And on the third day after Jesus died, God raised him from the dead to show us love and life do win. Resurrection is always on the way. Tomorrow is always an opportunity and a possibility with God. God meets us in the present, and God is with us in the future. We're never alone. We're never abandoned. The only problem is when we go insular, when we go within ourselves, when we separate and divide ourselves from one another, when we begin to give up on life and just skate by, just get by from day to day. Jesus is saying, that's not life. That's not whole and complete life. I'm sad that in recent years, I haven't been able to go to Haiti, because every time I go to Haiti, I see people who have nothing. They have nothing. They don't have a bank account. They don't have gainful employment. Sometimes they don't even have food. I know people who eat 3 days a week because they have nothing. But yet those people get up every day and they fight to live. They hike long distances with 5-gallon buckets to just fetch water because they have no water where they're living. They don't have clean sanitation. They don't have access to healthcare, but they get up every day and they fight to live. I was shocked to learn in Haiti when I first got there 20 years ago that there's no suicide in Haiti. These people who are living the worst lives that we can imagine on earth, they don't kill themselves. They don't quit. They don't give up because they fight to live. And here we are. Here we are, living here in paradise. This is paradise. Do you not recognize the blessings we have in this community? The beauty that surrounds us? My goodness, I went for a walk this morning. The entire sky was red when I came out of my house at 6:30 this morning. It was absolutely gorgeous. I couldn't just start walking. I had to stop. I had to stare at the sky. I had to think about God and the riches of God's blessings that are in my life and that are all around us. It's powerful stuff. And so I encourage you to be in a contemplative posture every day. We've got to take time to think about the blessings we have in our lives. We've got to take the time to reflect on all that God's doing in and around us. There is a lot of brokenness in our world. There's a lot of pain right now. You probably have pain in your family life. You have pain at your workplace. We're all nervous about the economy. We're all nervous about government. We're nervous about the war in Israel and the war in Ukraine. There's a lot of things to scare us right now. But the worst thing we can do is be afraid. The worst thing we can do is to hunker down and build walls around ourselves. The worst thing we can do is think that our job one is our own safety and security. That's not going to serve the world. That's not going to generate new life. That's not going to raise us and fuel us to live as the people God created us to be. Our Ignite appeal, which we're continuing through the end of this year to get commitments for next year, isn't simply about money. It's a call for the Holy Spirit to be alive in us. It's a call for us to look past our fear, to take a step out in boldness in how we live our lives. And it starts with generosity. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also, is what Jesus said. And so if we act afraid, we're going to be afraid. If we act in boldness, if we act in courage, if we act in faith and hope, it's going to change how we feel. It's going to change our outlook on everything. And this is the church. This is the people of God that God needs us to be. So if you haven't yet turned in your commitment for 2024 for Ignite and Planting Hope, please get that into the church. You can mail your commitment card into the church, or you can go to our website. And there's a place there right on our homepage of our website where you can click and make your commitment digitally. Please see this as a spiritual exercise. See it as an opportunity for all of us to come together and say, we're in. We're not going to cower. We're not going to live in fear. We're going to be abiding hope. We're going to live with abiding hope. We're not going to give up our hopefulness. We're not going to give up the spirit of life that God is putting within us. And we're going to step out in boldness. And yeah, many in the world might say we're crazy. Many in the world may say we're fools. But this is how life is generated. This is how the world is transformed. It's transformed one life at a time through relationships, through people who are willing to live out of faith and trust in God. And so I'm intense today. I'm passionate today because that's the way Jesus is. This is right before he dies. Are you listening? Does he have your attention? Are you willing to step forward in faith? To try those things you've never tried before, to be bolder than you've ever been before, to put your talent to work. And like I said, if you mess up, if you make a mistake because you were being bold, that's okay. God forgives that. God forgives us. And God's going to continue to pour blessing into your life, into my life, into all of our lives, so that we can fully live as the people of God we're created to be. I pray that you will cling to faith and truly live as a child of God so that you and all the world may experience real life in Jesus' name. God loves each of you, and I do too. Amen.